Greetings in the precious name of Jesus. I can't tell you the joy that I felt in just being able to be able to observe the baptisms and hear the testimonies of these dear people. Maybe I can describe it with something, the joy that we felt with something that we got to observe probably before Aria was born. So this was 18 years ago, I think, roughly. Elisa was a baby. Angela and I took just a surprise trip. We didn't tell the children where we were going, and we decided we're going to go to Oklahoma City Zoo. And so we walked around, and we left a camera there, and we didn't have any video and no cell phones in those days. So we walked around different areas, just enjoying the time together and watching. We came across this one area where there was four people, two couples, just intently watching off where we couldn't see. We hadn't gotten around the corner yet, but we thought, well, this should be interesting. You know, you usually don't see people just looking so intently at a zoo. Everybody's just kind of just meandering, not doing anything. We got up into this one area, and we looked, and there was a mother gazelle. It was in labor, and it was off in a distance. It was probably me to the back wall of the foyer there, I'm guessing, as far as the distance. We could watch, and she'd struggle, and she'd lay down a little bit, and she'd struggle, and you could see some intensity coming, and this little baby gazelle was starting to come. And the most amazing thing I have ever observed of any animal life, there about this time, you know, the nose and the two front hooves were sticking out, and she laid down, and all the birds around this area, from birds about this tall, you know, big crowns on the head, to very small birds, came and made a circle around this mama gazelle. And so dense were the birds and huddled around this mother, we couldn't even see the mother. And it was there for, they were there, all intently looking at this mother gazelle and this baby. At one moment, we couldn't see the actual time of the birth, but at one moment, there was just a flurry of feathers and squawks and bird, you know, singing and chirping and just rejoicing. I've never seen any animals rejoice like this. It was the most beautiful. I mean, just all kind of colors of birds and all kinds of different singing noises at the same time, and they all went their own way to tell everybody else about what had happened. And I thought, how much more do all the angels of heaven rejoice when one sinner comes to repentance? And I did just bless the Lord for the Lord's work in people here, and the Lord's work in the souls of those who are baptized today. All the angels of heaven rejoice when one sinner comes to repentance. Let's rejoice with them and take the message. Let's go tell everybody else what God does in the life of a sinner, in the life of the believer, in the life of those who surrender completely to the Lord Jesus Christ. Brother Solly asked me a number of weeks ago if I'd be willing to share, and I was happy, and he gave the one question: where do we go from here? And I'm sure we can think of all kinds of things, of applications to make sure we keep steadfast, and different warnings and different things we ought to make sure, but all the warnings which are necessary do not give a positive direction. Where do we go from here? And the scripture says, where there's no vision, the people perish. We all, our vitality is dependent on a positive direction of where are we going? Where do we go from here? Now, maybe some of our questions along the same line, same thought is, in a number of years, how do I know, how am I going to be sure that I'm still going in the right direction? We see, and all of you have seen as well, people that start off and end up going this way or that way, and we think, what happened? We have so many friends of circles where we came from who were conservative-minded, and to look and see where they are now, it's a grievous thing. How do I know that where I'm going to be in 10 years is still in the right direction? Or maybe a question is, how can I be sure that I will endure to the end? Am I going to have what it takes to make it through the end of life? Because we don't know what the Lord's going to allow in our life. We don't know the struggles that come. How do I know that I'm going to be able to endure? Or maybe a question is, how do I regain the love that I had when I first met the Lord? Maybe somebody has left the first love, and maybe not quite sure where they departed, where they left it, and how do we regain that? We see the joy in these new faces, and we think, that was me one time. How do I get back there? Or maybe someone has watched these new believers, like I did one time. I shared the gospel with somebody, and I was professing a Christian, and I just felt the desire to share the gospel with someone that came into the building where we were. And he was an Indian there in New Mexico, and he was drunk. And I just had the desire to share the gospel, and I got done sharing with him, and I asked him, would you like to pray to receive the Lord Jesus Christ? And he said, yes, I would. And so we knelt down, and I began praying, and, you know, the typical way that they taught us to do it, whereas one person prays, and the other person repeats it, and then one person prays, and the other repeats it. We didn't get there. I began praying a little bit, and he began praying, and just began breaking, just weeping over his sin, confessing his sin. I mean, he went on, and just in brokenness, confessing his sin and pouring out his heart and then believing on the Lord Jesus Christ and thanking God for salvation. And when we got up, he was not a drunk Indian. He was sober. He was clear. He was radiant. He was in a sound mind. And I was looking at him and I thought, why don't I have what he has? What is different about him? I could not figure that out until I was born again. So maybe there's someone here that was looking at those people and thought, I've lived and I've professed and I've done all these right things and I've held these standards, and why don't I have what they have? They have a radiance in their life. There's a freedom. I want that. I trust the Lord tonight would give some very simple clarity to answer those questions. I'd like to turn to Colossians 2. I love reading the scriptures because there's so many times you find these treasures of gold in the scriptures and that you just hang on to, and you know, this is going to be impacting for my life. And this is one of those passages. Colossians 2, and I'm just going to start in verse 6 through 15. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled all principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. There's a lot of rich treasure here. The one verse that I'd like to start looking at is verse 6. As ye therefore have received Christ Jesus our Lord, even so walk ye in him. This gives a picture that my current victory today is the same grace, the same means of faith, the same love, the same surrender when I first surrendered to Christ, when I was first born again. It's not something. I mean, here's, you know, the scripture says that there's a difference between meat and the milk. You know, the milk is for those unskillful in the meat, okay, and the milk is for babes, right? But then we're also instructed to desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. This is a concept here that is both meat and milk all together wrapped up in the same verse. As ye therefore have received Christ Jesus our Lord, even so walk ye in him. One of the word that I would like to focus on soon is that word received. As ye therefore have received Christ Jesus our Lord. So before we get there, what is it that we're receiving? Who is it that we're receiving? The Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy One of Israel, the King of Glory, the Eternal Son of God, the Only Begotten, the Promised One, the Messiah. He's the King of Glory. This Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world, He who knew no sin, He who was eternally with the Father, in Him through that all the world was made, through Him, He became flesh. He came to this world. He became flesh. He lived a sinless life. He showed us the kingdom of heaven. He pointed us to the Father. He died in my place. I deserve that death. Every one of us, we deserve the righteous judgment of God. There's not one among us that don't deserve death. I deserve that cross. But according to the scripture, the chastisement of my peace was laid upon him. He was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. This very God loved me. This very God loves you and chose to reveal his love for us by enduring the suffering of the cross, by becoming sin for us, by being made a curse for us, by having my sin placed upon him, by paying for me, redeeming me. This is that Jesus Christ that we have opportunity to receive. This is that Son of God. This is that sacrifice. This is the very one that all creation groans for. And all creation is waiting for the manifestation of Christ. And now we have Christ in me, the hope of glory. John 1 says, He came into His own, and His own received Him not. Now we have many people, and you know them many more than I do, who, so many people, they claim to be the very people of God. I mean, people in the evangelical and Baptist world, they claim to be the people of God. People in the Amish Mennonite, they claim to be the people of God. Jews claim to be the people of God. Do we receive Him? He came into His own. Those that are called by His name, He came into His own, but His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor the will of men, but of God. We're born of God if we are receiving Him. How do we receive Him? What does this receiving mean? Let's look at Matthew chapter 13. In the circles where we came from, there's a lot of talk about receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as a personal Savior. And I want to emphasize the need for that. The sad thing is when receiving Him becomes praying a prayer and making a profession, and the life goes unchanged. You have to wonder, is there really a receiving there? Matthew 13, we're going to read a section here. You're familiar with this passage. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow, and when he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprang up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But others fell into good ground, and brought forth fruit, some an hundredfold, some sixtyfold, some thirtyfold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more in abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand. And seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When any one heareth the word of the kingdom, and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one, and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. But he that receives seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that receives seed among thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some an hundredfold, some 60, and some 30. In Mark 4, it describes that last one, I believe, as an honest and good heart. We have four types of soil here, and four mentions of receiving seed of sorts. In Mark 4, the talk about receiving seed is it just describes that the seed was sown. Okay. Now, you can picture, when you have a trail, you have a roadway, it's dirt, you have just as much dirt on this trail as you have beside it, but nothing grows on that trail. Okay. It's packed, there's a lot of busyness, there's a lot of action, there's a lot of commotion. But nothing's growing there. Okay? We can, in our industry, and in our commotion, our business, our labors, all the things that we want to do, and all our activities, we can become so dense in our heart that there's no place for the seed to remain. It's not really opening and receiving it. And so when there's a lack of understanding because the mind is all engaged in the world and the profits and losses or the activity or the social events or whatever we put there, there's no room for that seed. No place for it to germinate. No way for it to open that hardness. It's close to hearing. There's not a reception there of the gospel. The second is the stony places. Now here we have maybe some grass growing and it looks good on top and everything is going well and the seed's in there and the earth opens up and it covers up. It keeps the birds don't get to it. And there's moisture there, and it starts to grow. And you see the springs come up, and maybe even quicker than what you would in other cases. And we think, well, this is going to go good. But there comes a point in time when the heart of that individual says, no, Lord, I don't think that's really what I want to do. When the root germinates, when the seed germinates and it begins to grow and it starts going deep, and there's a knocking on the heart's door, and we think, that's a little weird. I'm gonna look pretty strange. Well, what are people going to think about me? Well, what's going to happen? What are people going to say? That's just going to cost too much. No, Lord, that's just too much. No, you shouldn't ask me to suffer like that. No, just stay in this much soil. Aren't you happy with that? Can't you just grow right here? Don't ask me all this part down here. And when we look at that heart, when we look at our hearts, and if we look and we examine that point where I start to doubt the Word of God, when I start to question and think, no, Lord, that's not really what... You're not really asking me to do that, are you? That's not really... You don't really want me to go out and just look foolish. You don't really want me to go knock on this man's door and start talking about the gospel. You don't really want me to speak that. I mean, that's just not accepted in our culture. If we can measure that point at which the root is not allowed to grow deeper, we can measure how much we're going to endure in the day of temptation. If we can measure what that point is where I'm doubting and I say, no, Lord, I just don't have to forgive that. That was just too much. Or if we can measure maybe why is it, no, surely I don't have to honor him for that. I mean, he's just being just not reasonable. Or maybe my question is, God, you surely wouldn't want me to love this person the way they are. We're measuring how much that root is going to endure. How much fruit is going to be there. When that sun rises with a burning heat and the trials and the temptations come, we're measuring how we're going to endure that suffering. And when we look at those people that fall away in temptation, fall away, you look at Martyr's Mirror and some people recanted. I do not want to condemn people because of the intensity of the trials and the persecutions that they have faced, that I have not even faced that. But if we look at their heart, there was a point where they said, no, Lord, that's just too much. How much are we going to allow that Word of God to take root in our hearts? How much are we willing to allow that seed to penetrate into the depths of our heart? Because when the seed grows and it germinates, it actually finds cracks and it creates breaking in the ground and it grows deeper. It loosens that soil, just the very nature of that seed growing. And when that seed grows, not only does it help break up that tighter soil, but it opens the way for water, the moisture to come in. Now, there's different times in Scripture where the Holy Spirit coming is given in picture like the rain, okay? The early and the latter rain. All right, when that rain comes, is my heart going to be like, no, I have everything I need. I don't need this wet. I just want it dry and we can keep on with our business. Or maybe my heart is like this, with all I have some soil there. And I think, wow, this is great. But not too much, just enough. Because if you get too much, it just gets really soggy and the rest just runs off and is wasted. But if we have that root growing deep in our hearts, deep in our soil, and changing us, and we receive and we open our hearts to the conviction of the Holy Spirit, and we take the Word of God and we say, yes, Lord, maybe I don't understand everything about it, but Lord, your Word is true. Take root deep in my heart. Then it opens it up and it makes way for moisture to be deep. And that moisture that goes deep, because of the deepness of the root and the soil, that moisture that goes deep is that same picture of the virgins that have oil in their lamps. The root that's just shallow, I mean, the ground that's just shallow and say just only this much, it'll have a little bit of moisture, but it runs dry and it's withered. And just a picture here, that very same trials, temptations, persecutions, suffering that comes up and scorches the one seed, those plants that grew up fast and but didn't have the depth of root, it's the same trials, afflictions, suffering, persecution that produces fruit in the good seed. Many times we wonder, why do I have to go through this suffering? Why is this persecution? Why are these difficulties coming? That is because God wants fruit in our life. And God knows that that fruit doesn't come except we go through the trial. We need those trials. We need that sun, the intensity of the heat of the day, because it ripens the fruit. It brings it out if we truly receive the seed in the very deepest part of our heart, the very depths of our soul. And we say, Lord, here I am. You can have everything. Do we receive Jesus Christ like that? As a new believer, I didn't know all what the Lord was going to ask me. I still don't know all what the Lord's going to ask me. We don't know what sufferings lay ahead. But we can be sure that all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. If it's our heart's desire to follow Jesus Christ, and if we really are saying, Lord, I want to receive you as Lord, my Savior, for who he is, we can know that we're going to suffer. And it's for his glory. It's for his kingdom. It's for the fruit that he wants in our lives. Now there's the other ground that has all the weeds and the briars. I see a picture there that they received a whole lot of seed. They were not selectively in removing those things that were not pleasing to the Lord Jesus Christ. We have the ability to be open-minded and receive all kinds of stuff, including false doctrine, false gospels, a false spirit, another Jesus, another eternal destiny, because it's different. It's a God of this world. It's not the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not the sound word of God. We need to receive the love of the truth that we might be saved. In Acts 20, I discovered just a picture when I was trying to sort through different things, where Paul says that I have ceased not day and night to preach repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. That's how we received him. It's believing God, turning away from our own self, our own ways of thinking, and it's acting in obedience according to it. If we want fruitfulness in our life, if we want to renew the joy of salvation, if we want to endure to the end, if we want all the things that God has promised, we need to receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save our souls. Where our hearts are open to him and say, Lord, what do you want in my life? And we allow it to grow. And when the root goes deep, we say, Lord, whatever you want. I'm yours, Lord. I'm not my own anymore. I'm bought with a price. I don't have lordship over my own self anymore. I belong to him. May the Lord bless you.